of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're out on the road tonight, please be careful. The weather is a little iffy, depending upon where you are. And I just heard if you're down in Boca, there are power lines down near Glades. So they've closed the entrance to the turnpike in both directions, which should be making for a lot of fun driving in that area. But the good news is you can listen to us. If you're listening on 95.9, of course, you're in the Palm Beaches. If you're on 106.9, you're on the Treasure Coast. Wherever you are, stay dry, stay safe, be careful, and enjoy tonight's show, which is really, really a very interesting show and very different from a show that OMG typically does. We're going to be talking about children tonight, specifically children who have suffered what is commonly referred to as an ACE or adverse childhood experience. You may think, what does that have to do with my audience? It has everything to do with my audience. It has everything to do with your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors' grandchildren, friends. It does not matter. What are adverse childhood experiences? Well, they can include trauma of multiple kinds. It could be abuse. It could just be stress. Can you think that kids get stressed? They really do. So we're going to describe them, and we're going to talk with a representative from an organization that helps these children deal with this and heal. Carrie Jameson of the Center for Child Counseling is here, and we're going to talk to her in just a moment. But first, I want to remind everybody that we do a lot of public speaking. I'm going to be talking tomorrow to a women's professional organization here in Palm Beach Gardens. I'm excited to be talking to that organization. I also am going to be talking to a group from ORT. I know there are lots of ORT groups around. We're going to be talking at the Cascades next Tuesday, a week from tomorrow, 9:30 in the morning. If you're an ORT member, would like to be, or if you live in the Cascades, please come. And on May 29th, we're going to be talking at Alzheimer's Community Cares Educational Conference. And I'm going to have a representative from Alzheimer's Community Care here next week, Dr. Karen Gilbert, to talk about what that conference is going to be all about. And we're also going to talk about some really new and exciting developments in the world of Alzheimer's disease, and maybe some not so exciting. If you happen to watch 60 Minutes last night, they did a thing on FTD, which is was a really important story. But I'm going to be talking with my son-in-law, Tino. We're going to be talking about marrying high-tech and high-touch, because there's a lot of technology out there, but it still doesn't substitute for the high-touch of caregiving. So that's the 29th of this month at Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference at PGA National. And if you're not registered, there is still time. They will find room for you, I promise. I also want to remind everybody that you can go to my website, or you can reach out to us at the office for all of the support groups. We do 7 Alzheimer's support groups a month and 3 Parkinson's support groups. But enough about that. Now I'm going to get to my guest and the reason that you are here tonight. Carrie Jameson was born in Durban, South Africa, and received her undergraduate degree in English and History from the University of Miami, and a postgraduate qualification in screenwriting from UCLA. In 2012, she was accepted in the role of Senior Director of Communications for the Quantum Foundation, West Palm Beach's largest private health funder. The foundation has worked with over 450 nonprofits in Palm Beach County, including national organizations, small to medium grassroots nonprofits, major educational institutions, and government agencies. She's also an award-winning writer and an internationally published novelist with 3 books in the marketplace. She joined the Center for Child Counseling in 2018 as the organization's Director of Community and Public Relations, where she is tasked with educating the community about adverse childhood experiences, and that's why she's here tonight. She manages the organization's external communications and media relations as well, and she lives right here in North Palm Beach. Welcome to the show, Carrie. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Scott.
So since I doubt that too many people listening to the show tonight know what the Center for Child Counseling is, why don't we start with you telling us about the organization?
Well, we're the preeminent provider of childhood mental health services in Palm Beach County. We've been around for about 20 years. We focus on age groups birth to 12, and we're committed to making sure that we can help children who've been exposed to trauma or adversity to heal and have a brighter future than they would otherwise have.
And I don't think, at least I guess I didn't until I met you and your organization, I didn't realize the depth and the range and the scope of what we call ACEs, or adverse childhood experiences. Am I saying that properly?
Absolutely right.
So what is an ACE? I mean, what are we talking about? And maybe we can be specific so that we can give some people a sense of how they can connect to what we're going to be talking about the rest of the hour.
So generally, ACEs fall into three categories. It can be abuse, which can be physical, emotional, or sexual. It can be neglect, not being taken care of adequately, not being cared for, or some kind of household dysfunction, divorce, separation of parents. Often it's incarceration of a parent or a loved one. Increasingly, there are substance abuse issues that children are exposed to in the home. But really, it all came out of a landmark study conducted in the 1990s. And that was conducted by the insurance giant Kaiser Permanente and the Centers for Disease Control. And they developed a survey that asked people 10 questions about experiences they had when they were children. And those 10 questions covered things such as, did you ever witness one of your parents committing violence on the other parent? Did you ever witness a parent or a loved one taking illegal substances? So these kind of questions people answered, and what was astonishing about the study was the correlation between mental health outcomes based on how many ACEs out of 10 a person scored.
And were they surprised by the number of people who had experienced any? Because as you're talking, I think nobody I know hasn't gone through probably one of those, right?
Exactly. And the 10 that they selected are fairly extreme, but very few people have zero. And fortunately, very few people have extremely high scores, but it's a definite indicator. Now, it's not a roadmap that something definitive is going to happen if you have a high ACE score, but it's certainly an indicator that you might need help somewhere along the way to deal with some of those experiences.
And I think it would be safe to say that, because particularly in the age group that you function in, 0 to 12, those kids have no one to typically talk to about what's going on and can't even articulate how it's impacting them.
Right. They're living in the dynamic that they're experiencing. They have very little exposure to people outside of that. So we're dealing not only with the children who are experiencing the ACEs, but most times we're dealing with the whole family, because so often the parents themselves have experienced it when they were children, and they're simply passing on that behavior one generation to the next.
Well, and we've always heard that once abused, that it runs in the family. This is not the people who struggle with the effects of these adverse childhood experiences, they run the gamut. It is not necessarily economics. This is not unique to the poor. It's not unique to a race. It's not unique to anything. It covers the full gamut, doesn't it?
You're quite right. It's everyone you know. And it's probably you to some extent. Most of us have perhaps one. Many, many people have two. When you start getting to the area of about four and more, you're starting to see real impact, not only on the mental health of that child as they grow up, but on the physical health too. And I think that's what's so interesting about that study, was the incredible life-altering effects it has on your physical health.
In what ways does it manifest itself? That's really interesting. I guess it makes sense, but I wouldn't have thought that myself.
Right. It's associated, high ACEs, four or more, is associated with soaring rates of heart disease, diabetes, depression, hypertension, substance abuse, alcoholism. And on average, people with high ACE scores die 20 years younger than those who have no ACEs,
wow.
Which is a shocking correlation.
Well, I think you told me before we went on the air that, contrary to what many might believe, college educated have as much problem as uneducated or low education.
You know, so often these situations where children are experiencing negative events, they're done in secret. They're things that happen behind closed doors. And just like domestic abuse, which we seldom think is happening to our friends and neighbors, very, very often it is. The original study was conducted with college-educated, middle-class, professional working people. And the truth holds true for them as well as the groups.
You know, one of the commercials that runs on the show is from Alpert Jewish Family and Children's Services. And they do a luncheon every year, No Excuse for Abuse. And it's about, it's about abuse, particularly, well, most often spousal abuse, but not exclusively. And every year they shine the light on examples of where abuse could happen, and it never ceases to amaze that it is everywhere you would never imagine it to be.
Of course, and I think we all tend to think, not me, not in my neighborhood, not with my friends. And as I say, it's something that people often find shameful, they don't want to discuss. But the more open we can be about it, and the more we can encourage children to express themselves, the faster we can get them on the path to healing.
And so I guess that's the question. Is there hope for these kids, even if they don't know they're being impacted by it?
Yes, it seems like it's a very heavy topic, and it is. But right. The wonderful thing about it is that there's plenty of hope. We know that just one positive adult influence in a child's life can turn this all around. So if it's not necessarily a parent, it can be a coach, a teacher, an extended family member, someone from church or sports that they play outside of school. If you are interacting with a child and you are being a positive influence in their life and encouraging them in any way, you are being what we call a buffer against an adverse childhood experience. You're a shield. You're giving them a few moments of positivity that actually affects the brain chemistry and shuts down some of this negative toxicity that's happening in the child's body as a result of these traumatic experiences.
So while you said that, again, I was thinking, we also don't know who the perpetrators are. The perpetrators are not always the most obvious, right? So,
right.
So are there telltale signs that the audience could look for in the children that they interact with that says to them, maybe this is something they should be paying attention to, or is that a reach?
No, not at all. We know there are definite signs you can look for. Of course, each child is unique and they react very differently. But the most important thing to look for is a change in the child's nature, behavior, reaction. If your child always loved going to play soccer and now suddenly he doesn't want to go and play soccer, let's get to the bottom of that. The most important thing is to talk to children. Most often they're looking for a safe place to share. And I say pay attention. Changes in mood, changes in behaviors, changing in eating patterns. There are certain indicators like bedwetting. It's not always an issue, but sometimes it is. So these are things you can start to be aware of. And the more you can educate yourself about what to look for, the more aware you're going to be that this might be a child in your life who needs a little bit of extra help.
And going back to your organization, going back to the Center for Child Counseling, you begin to interact with that child. Explain how that process evolves.
Yes, usually people find us when they're at the point where they believe their child needs to speak to somebody. It's beyond their ability to necessarily cope with. So they will either be referred to our organization, sometimes through the court system, through some kind of law enforcement involvement. Oftentimes it's just concerned parents who know their children need help and they want to find someone who's qualified and skilled, because not everyone can jump in and do this work. Just because someone's a therapist doesn't mean they specialize in child therapy, especially very young children as we do.
And I guess that's a good point, because I reference that in senior care, which, of course, I talk about much more than I talk about child care.
Sure.
That just because you're a neurologist doesn't mean you're a neurologist that understands Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. You might be
exactly.
A neurologist, and I guess that's true with child therapists as well, right?
Yeah, it's really a specialization, and we use, with very young children, we use play therapy. So we always say that play is a child's language and toys are their words. And so they're more likely to act out something that's concerning them. And that's why you need a very intuitive, very skilled therapist who can watch what's happening there, pick up on some of these signals that the child is wanting to share. And that's how we start the conversation going.
So I'm curious, does that happen in the home or do they come to your therapist or is it at a location?
Yes, they come to one of our centers. We have two locations in Palm Beach County, but we also have wonderful therapists who do travel. We're co-located in several schools, community centers, women's shelters across the county. And these are the places where people need help, so this is where we need to go.
And where are your two centers, as long as I open that door?
No problem. We're located on North Military Trail, just south of PGA, and we're also in the Palm Health Pavilion on the St. Mary's Hospital campus.
Oh, I used to spend a lot of time in that pavilion. I didn't realize you were there.
Yes, we're very excited to have those new offices and the new space available to us.
Are they supporters of the organization?
They are. We have some wonderful local funders. Children's Services Council funds us, Lost Tree, Quantum Foundation, Palm Health. They recognize the need for this work. It makes such common sense to help children when they're young. The return on investment when you invest in young children rather than trying to cope with the implications when they're 20 or 30, it just makes sense.
So I asked you this before we went on the air, and you're going down that direction for me. Why should we care? Why should my audience care? Why should somebody who isn't familiar with anybody struggling with this, why is this important?
I really think there are two major reasons. The first reason is everybody interacts with children. We're seeing an increase in America in the number of grandparents who are raising not their children, but their children's children for a variety of circumstances. So suddenly you're a mom and dad again when you were just hoping to be a grandparent. Now, and the world is more complicated perhaps than when you were raising your children. So you need to be aware and you need to be informed. I think everyone needs to care about this issue. But even if you're just a taxpayer and you don't have a special interest in children, the economic burden on our public systems and on the taxpayer's pocket based on the implications of not treating young children with ACEs is staggering. It's staggering in lost work days, in healthcare visits that aren't covered by insurance, in every way you can imagine, in community violence, school shootings, everything you read about in the news. That is the result of someone who did not get help when they needed it when they were young.
It's really... it is such a fascinating subject, a subject that probably most of us don't give a whole lot of attention to, and of course we should, which is why you're here tonight. If you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, getting older, and so is my mom. I'm here tonight with Kerry Jamison. Kerry is the Director of Community and Public Relations for the Center for Child Counseling. We are talking about ACEs, which are adverse childhood experiences, and while I know that we usually talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents, we're talking tonight about children because while it may not be directly impactful to a boomer or their parent, it is impactful, as Kerry just said, to us in so many other ways. We're going to talk, as the show unfolds, more about how people come to the Center for Child Counseling, where the referrals come from. We're going to go back to, again, talk about some of the signs that we might see, because I think it's important for us. We may think everything's going well in the families that we're witnessing or that we're around, and we may not be. I can only relate this to, I went to my own fitness center just the other day, and I don't know why I'm thinking about this now, but I was there on Saturday, and there was a mother in the fitness center with her son, and children aren't really supposed to be there, but that wasn't the point of this. And all she was doing was yelling at him that he wasn't working out hard enough. And I at one point wanted to say, would you give the kid a break? And I guess, you know, if I had had this conversation that we're having tonight before, I might have interacted differently. It's interesting when you put your mind to this. So I'm glad that you're with us tonight. If you're a regular listener, we're thrilled that you're with us. If you're new to us, we're here every Monday Sunday night at 6 o'clock, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom, is an issue that is a show that talks mostly about issues that confronts boomers and their parents. Tonight we're talking about children, but it impacts you just as well. If you have questions for Carrie or for myself, either, or if you have anything on your mind that you'd like to talk to us about, you can call us 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition, and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, and So Is My Mom, with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott. Oh.
I just got the heads up. Don't listen to that dead air. There's nothing there. Anyway, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. I hope you like that musical interlude instead of our commercials. We had a little hiccup on the board, but we're back. And I'm glad that we are, with Carrie Jameson. Carrie is the Director of Community and Public Relations for the Center for Child Counseling. We're talking about adverse childhood experiences. And while that is not something that I normally talk about on the show, I am glad that we are able to do that tonight. If you have questions about this subject, or you want to talk to Carrie and know more about her organization, or if you're worried about somebody that you know, feel free to call us at 877-960-9960. Carrie, during the break, you mentioned to me that there is there's an interesting parallel in science, and that there is a scientific. Hold on, I think we're getting a. We are getting a phone call. Of course, I can't read who it is because it's in yellow and it's there, so I don't know who you are, but welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Why don't you give me your name and ask Carrie the question that you have.
Okay, my name is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
And it's not really a question. It's more of a comment. I'm now 65 years old, and I'm emotional, and I wish Carrie was there for me 50 years ago.
Oh, Paul, I wish we had been too.
So I, you know, I
and,
go ahead.
I think you're doing wonderful stuff. Thank you very much.
Well, Paul, I can't thank you enough for taking the time and for being so brave to pick up the phone and call us. I wish we had been there for you too 50 years ago. I can tell you that. If you want, I'm going to give out a way that you can reach Carrie and her organization, and I'm sure that she can give you a referral to an organization that can help you today, because there is hope. There's a lot out there, and for whatever has you so emotionally connected to this story, don't give up. I tell you, don't give up. There is hope out there, and we hope that we can help you get some. So,
and Paul, you know, I want to say thank you, because you've served to illustrate a really important point, that at 65, you are still clearly coping with things that probably happened to you when you were very young, and these things follow you. And if you had got help earlier, I'm convinced and I'm sure that you might have had an easier journey. So I am so thrilled that you, I'm sorry that you're going through this, but I'm thrilled that you were, that you called and let us know that this is a real thing and that it impacts people for their entire lives.
Thank you, Carrie. And, you know, I keep trying to keep my self-esteem up and my depression low, but every now and then they flop, and it makes it difficult to just get up in the morning.
Oh, well, these struggles are things I hear about all the time. You're not alone, that's for sure, and a lot of us have been through these things personally. It's not just something that's academic to us. Or that we've studied, that's something that we've lived. And you're clearly someone who's lived with it, but you're continuing to live with it. And the more you can share with people that you trust, the better, Paul. I would encourage you to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. I also have another question, if I may.
Sure.
I'm married, and my wife is getting into the dementia, Alzheimer's situation, but she's in total denial. What can I do with this? which doesn't help with the depression and stuff, you know?
So where do you live? Not exactly, but what town do you live in?
In Palmy's Gardens.
Okay, so do you have a well, I'll give you a couple of things. We run a couple of support groups up here that I'm happy to help connect you with, which are for you, not for your wife.
Okay.
I would also tell you that the first person cured of this disease will be in a clinical trial. So the first thing you need to do is get a proper diagnosis, and you can do that. You can both. You don't have to point it out to her. You can both go to be tested for a clinical trial. That way you're not pointing a finger at her and making her uneasy. And I would encourage that. I did it myself with my wife. It was very helpful to have gone through that process to find out at least whether that's going on or something else may be going on. So it may not be what you think it is. But if it is, it's not you pointing a finger. It could be somebody else. So I'm going to give you a number. Call me tomorrow morning, and I will talk to you and give you a referral. My number in the office is 561-630-1620. I will be there tomorrow morning. If you give me a shout, I will point you in the right direction and talk to you about this on a more personal basis. I'm happy to do that. No obligation on my side for at all, okay?
Thank you very much. Thank you both.
You're quite welcome. You have a great night. You have a great night.
Just speaking out has helped considerably.
I can hear your voices lifted just in the last few minutes, so good for you, Paul.
That's terrific.
Thank you.
You take care.
Thank you enough. Thank you. Thank you. So I think if ever there was an indicator about how important this subject is, we just heard it. And I can't, if Paul is still listening, I can't tell you, and I'm sure Carrie, you and I both agree on this, how difficult that was for him to do, how important it was, and how important it was to illustrate why we're here talking about this tonight. So I want to come back and I want to talk about the science that we started down, and we will. But we're getting close to another break, so why don't we do that and we'll come back. Anyway, we're here with Carrie Jamison, who is the Director of Community and Public Relations for the Center for Childhood Counseling. This is here in Palm Beach County. We're going to talk more about that. I'm going to tell you how you can reach her and her organization. We're going to tell you how you can call for referrals. We're going to talk about the science behind this and why it's so important, and we just had a perfect example of that. And we have so much more. But if you have questions, you can call us, 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Oh my God, I'm getting older, so is my mom. Here tonight with Carrie Jamison, and I saved you from listening to my commercials and played some good music for you in the interlude there. I hope you enjoyed it. Anyway, Carrie Jamison is the Director of Community and Public Relations at the Center for Child Counseling, and we're talking about adverse childhood experiences that can impact people for their entire lives, but also can impact more than just the person, the child experiencing. It is a familial issue. It crosses the gamut. It runs from a grandparent, great-grandparent, parent, child, the one who's experiencing it, and frankly, the community at large. It's really important. And Carrie, during the break, we were talking about this. We all want children to be happy. I have grandchildren. Nothing makes me happier than to see a smile on their face, and we do some wonderful things together, and all of that is there. But the impact of this is not just the emotional connection. There's real scientific support for the relevance of the impact of ACE. So can we talk about that?
Sure. We all experience stress. Even children experience stress. They have an exam they're studying for. They're anxious about going to a birthday party where there will be new kids. These are normal, healthy stresses. They motivate us. They're good for us. But something happens when your stress response is activated, and that's, everyone has heard of it, it's the fight or flight response.
Right.
So this is inbred, it's ancient, it's in every human being, and it prepares us either to stand our ground and fight danger or to run away and
it's instinctive. We can't do anything about it. We talk about that in the world of Alzheimer's all the time.
They're right. Yeah, exactly. And what happens is there are myriad chemical reactions that go on in the body, adrenaline dumps, everything prepares us for these things. That's usually infrequent, and it happens when there's danger present. What happens with a child living with adversity is that that automatic response is triggered all the time, to the point where it's like revving a car engine all day, all the time. Eventually, you're going to burn your engine out. So what happens, and especially a young child's developing brain, because the development happens dramatically during the first few years of life, is that response is activated to the detriment of developing other areas of the brain.
Wow.
So you are actually disadvantaging a child with even their ability, cognitive ability, social emotional development, even things like their ability to interact with other people and how they're going to do in school, their ability to concentrate. All these things are compromised because the brain is simply trying to survive in that primal response rather than going through all the other motions that a child in a happy environment is able to do.
It's like there's no room for the happy things. Right?
Right. I mean, the body shuts down everything that isn't crucial to survival under stress. And when you're under stress all the time, it doesn't focus on those other areas of development. So you end up with what's called toxic stress. That's intense, sustained stress that causes you to be sick.
And we talked about it before. I think when we talk about childhood stress and stuff, we kind of think of, maybe it's just me, child sexual abuse kind of claims. But it's not exclusive to that. I mean, that's certainly prevalent, and it's certainly terrible and has to be dealt with. But there are other stresses, right? One that I wouldn't have thought of, divorce, that would be common, right? That makes sense. You said that earlier in the show. But I didn't think about the childhood separation, somebody going off to prison, for example, or somebody dying for one, right?
Sure. We have parents who go off to the military, and that's normal, and they have a happy, healthy family. But perhaps the child isn't understanding, why is mom not here anymore? What's happened? There might be ways that that little brain is processing that information that an adult doesn't even think about.
Yeah. If you're just tuning in, we're talking about adverse childhood experiences, and I'm here tonight with Carrie Jamison. If you have questions for Carrie about what we're talking about, you can reach us at 877-960-9960. Carrie, who discovers that a kid is in trouble? Is it always the teacher? Is it a neighbor? Is it a big brother or sister? I mean, how do we find these kids that are struggling?
Well, the first person who's going to spot it is someone who is educated to spot it. So that's why part of our job at the Center for Child Counseling is not only providing direct services to children who need them, but educating the public at large and the community, particularly people who interact with children, the school system, the Guardian Ad Litem program, the judiciary, child welfare organizations, so that we can equip people to pick up on these signs. And often, yes, it is someone like a teacher, because they're seeing perhaps the behavioral symptoms of the underlying issue, child's disrupting class. Why is that? Rather than saying, what's wrong with you, we encourage people to say, what happened to you?
Right.
Why? Why are we seeing these behaviors? And the more we can create that trauma-informed and ACEs-aware community, the more people will be equipped to spot it, and we'll spot it quicker, and we'll be able to heal it faster.
And if somebody suspects a problem, what do they do about it?
So everybody is a mandated reporter.
Right.
So everyone who suspects something, you are obliged morally and by the law, in fact, to make sure that you report that to the authorities. It is possible to do it anonymously. You can report through calling your local police station, your local child services agency, Children's Services Council, etc. A lot of people are resistant to do that because they would hate to do it if they're wrong. But I would say, what if you don't do it and you're right?
That's a good point. Is that because I know for for elders, it's 1-800-96-ABUSE. Is it the same for you?
You can go through 211, for example. 211, okay. They will be able to direct you to someone who can help you, who's the most appropriate for your situation.
Right. And you're right. I mean, being afraid to do this because you might be wrong is a whole lot better than being right and not doing it. It really is tragic. So, I know teachers would do it and other people that come in contact with kids. Can we review, for people who just tuned in and weren't here earlier, can we review what some of the signs are that people can notice would be important in identifying a child who may or may not be experiencing some adverse experiences?
The biggest thing we say to look for is change in the child's nature, behavior, change in things they used to love doing, a personality shift. Was your child very outgoing and suddenly they're withdrawn? Are they not communicating with you when they used to? And it's people who are closest to children who are going to notice these things, and that's why you as a grandparent or a neighbor have to be vigilant, because if this is happening in the home or in the family dynamic, those people aren't necessarily going to be identifying it or reporting it. The most important thing you can do is be there for children in your life in whatever capacity you can be. Be a safe place to talk. Encourage children to open up and be honest, and encourage that in your own families. That's right. Really where it starts. Right. And we encourage it in the schools, and we have wonderful teachers who play this role every day. You know, we've been given two great gifts lately, and that is the high five and the fist bump, because neither of them are physically invasive.
Right.
We used to force our children to hug strangers. We do not do that anymore. Children should be able to have the say over who touches
personal
their body,
space, right?
Personal space. But a high five and a fist bump almost universally is comfortable for a child to do. So if you don't know a child well, but they've done something that they're proud of and they want to give you a high five, that's always appropriate. A little fist bump is always appropriate.
Physicians would see physical impact. Do they? Are physicians up to speed on this? Are you having... Because I know not all physicians are as connected as we think they are to these kinds of things.
Sure.
So is it pediatricians? Do they get this?
Increasingly, yes. That wasn't always the case. Palm Beach County has some pediatric practices that are very far along in the ACEs awareness spectrum, and some who are more resistant. Of course, doctors have 100 checklists they have to go through. They have limited time. The idea of asking them to do an ACEs checklist can appear onerous. We're big proponents of that, and that's one of our goals, is to make sure that every child in this county, and indeed their parents, know what their ACE score is and what the implications of a high score might be.
So if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I'm here tonight with Kerry Jamison, who is the director of Community and Public Relations for the Center for Child Counseling. And we're talking about adverse childhood experiences. We're talking about, the kinds of things that can impact children for life that has real importance. And the Center for Child Counseling specializes in dealing with children from 0 to 12. And... It's a much bigger problem than we realize, and it does impact each of us. There's an economic impact on the community. There is certainly an emotional impact on the community. It doesn't necessarily have to be our own child. Now, if you tune in on a regular basis and you're expecting to talk to listen to a subject about boomers and their parents, tonight we're taking a little different road, but it impacts boomers and their parents just as much, because this is a familial problem. It's like everything else. It's like chronic disease. It's like everything we deal with in our lives. Nothing ever happens in a vacuum. And childhood, adverse childhood experiences do not happen in a vacuum. And besides, because most of us really have a warm and fuzzy feeling about children, we should care about them as much as we do about everybody else. So we're still here. We're talking with Kerry. If you have questions for Kerry or myself, you can call us 877-960-9960. If you're still out there on the road, by the way, be careful, because the rain is still around, and I want you to be able to listen to us again next week. Again, our number, if you want to call us, 877-960-9960. Kerry, you work with children primarily from birth to the age of 12. What you deal with doesn't end at age 12. What happens to kids after age 12?
Well, we never let a client go until we're sure that they're they're ready for that. So 12 is not a hard cutoff. We have plenty of counselors who work with children into their teens. Our specialization is up to 12. But when we have a relationship with a child and it's going well, we will continue that therapeutic relationship until the child is in a healthier place. There are a lot of other organizations that we partner with who do focus more on teens, more on the high school age. Of course, we think that's great, but we are firm believers that it needs to happen as early as possible.
Yeah, early intervention here is really critical, right? I mean,
absolutely key. You can prevent so much with an early intervention rather than trying to put a Band-Aid on the symptom.
Right, prevention is worth a pound, an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure.
Right, those old adages are always true, aren't they?
That's why they become old adages. Yeah.
Stitch in time saves nine.
So you mentioned before, you know, by the time a child, I would think that most children under 12 don't interact very much with the police department, for example. So, but guardian ad litem, which is a subject that I have covered here before on the show, you are different than guardian ad litem. It's an entirely different, I mean, maybe for people who are confused, like, what, isn't this the same thing as guardian ad litem? Can you explain to the audience how that is really different? Because it is really different.
Yes, you know, we operate as a nonprofit, and we do use Medicaid reimbursement if people have insurance. So we operate as any other kind of therapy service where you can bring your child to get expert skilled intervention. But we also get people referred to us through the court system, and we do educate or offer training to the Guardian Ad Litem program to equip folks to know more about this and what to expect. We also work with foster parent groups. As I said earlier, a lot of people find themselves unexpectedly in the custody of a child because the mother's suddenly incarcerated or goes into a substance abuse program, and suddenly we're caring for a child who's been traumatized by the loss of that mom.
Right.
And we're not equipped to deal with this. We never expected this to happen in our lives. And so we work to train those people. So we're not a state-operated organization at all. We're not affiliated with any kind of for-profit entity, but we operate purely in the service of children, I would say. And as I say, 20 years of experience in this very specialized niche kind of therapy field.
So as a nonprofit, raising money is really, really important.
Yes.
You have a big event coming up, don't you?
And, yes, we do.
Maybe you could tell us about that event because it's really, really important.
Well, we welcome any kind of assistance that anyone would be moved to try and help us with. You can donate on our website. We have an event coming up called Lead the Fight on May 23rd. This is actually an educational event for business leaders and people who are decision makers, movers and shakers in the community, but it is available to register online. Our website is www.centerforchildcounseling.org, and you'll find all this information under the events tab on that website.
Get that again.
www.centerforchildcounseling.org.
And is there a phone number that people can call you for more information?
There sure is. It's 561-244-9499.
And so your funding comes from, you said Medicaid, I hadn't even thought about that. Do you take insurance, I guess?
Yes, we do. Yeah, wow. We sure do. Wow. And obviously that is covered to a certain extent, and most children get the services they need through that. Again, the less complex and the earlier you get the problem, the fewer sessions your child's likely to need. It can sometimes get resolved very quickly when you have someone who knows how to speak to children in the right way.
I guess that's really important. We haven't talked about that. What are the outcomes? Are the outcomes promising? Do we have a tremendous amount of success? We talk to that? Do we have statistics? Is hopeful?
Right? It's very hopeful. And that's the good news, because you can, a lot of it is anecdotal, but you can track the trajectory and the self-reporting of people, you know, pre and post therapy. Are they coping better? Is their behavior improving? We actually track 80 different data points in the school system. And that can be things like number of expulsions in the school before our program was implemented, after our program was implemented. The number of Baker Acts, which is the involuntary mental health removal of a child as young as 4 or 5 from the school by a police officer, sometimes in handcuffs, because they threaten to harm themselves or others. It's a necessary but terrible thing that happens, and it's traumatic for the whole school. So having a counselor in the school system, which we do at our schools where we're co-located, the services are right there, not only to assist that one child who's going through the event, but all the other children who witnessed it and who may be fearful or traumatized by that event happening in the school.
So I'm more than familiar with Baker Act. I can't imagine doing that to a four-year-old. Yeah. Wow.
Right.
I mean,
it happens. Really, it happens more often than you think.
I mean, talk about trauma.
I mean, in one local school, we had 17 in 1 year.
Oh, my God.
And then after we implemented our full program there, the following year, they had one. So, you know, that's the kind of success we have with the program.
So what you do is multifaceted. You go in and you educate, I assume, people at the school. You go in and actually put counselors in the school that need that. So
right.
That's different. So you're
right.
On site.
Right.
So there's an educational component. There's an actual delivery of service component.
Parental involvement.
Parental
trainings
involvement.
For staff who aren't necessarily teachers, but school staff. Custodians, coaches, everybody who works with the kids but might not be in the classroom necessarily, but also the interaction with the parents is crucial. And once you develop that relationship in the school and you work with all the teachers and they all have the skills, it becomes self-sustaining because suddenly you have teachers who are better equipped to cope with things rather than having to send the child out or whatever it is.
Well, it's really amazing. I mean, the work that you do is amazing. I have more questions. But if you're just tuning in, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. I've been here tonight with Kerry Jamison, and we're talking about adverse childhood experiences. Kerry, in her role as Director of Community and Public Relations for the Center for Child Counseling, is explaining to us the role that they play in helping children overcome these adverse experiences that they have. And they run the gamut from the things you would think to things you probably have never thought about. And we've been talking about all that all night. And so if you missed it, and shame on you if you did. If you missed it and you tuned in late, I do have good news for you, though, because we're going to give you an opportunity to listen at your leisure. You can just tune in tomorrow to OMG I'm Getting on any podcast that you'd like. We're on the iTunes platform and the others. OMG I'm Getting. We'll be up around 1 o'clock tomorrow. We also will be on my website, which is palmbeach.comforcare.com, comforcare. I know you want to put a T in there. Do not do that. I won't get it, and you won't find us. So it's palmbeach.comforcare.com. If you like to listen to the show and you're frustrated because you don't have a radio, and a lot of people don't have radios anymore in their house, the good news is there is an app for that, and we have on any of your smartphones, it's called TuneIn Radio, and all you have to do is download the free app, set a reminder for 6 o'clock every Monday night to WSVU, which is the call letters of our station. We're at 6 o'clock. We come on live, and we talk each week. If you're a regular, you know this. If you're new, you don't. We're here every week at 6 o'clock to talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents on Oh My God, I'm Getting Older. So is my mom. You also, if you don't have a radio, have another way you could listen to us. That's because we simulcast on the web, www.trueoldiesfla.com. trueoldiesfla.com. Next week, Dr. Karen Gilbert's going to be here. Dr. Gilbert, Karen, has been a guest before, almost every year at this time, because she tells us about Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference. She heads up their outreach and education, and she is a newly, how do I say this? She is a newly appointed or anointed PhD. So that's only in the last few weeks, so I have to get used to calling her Dr. Karen Gilbert. She's going to tell us about the ACC conference. I'm excited about that, not only because it's always a great conference, but because I'm going to be speaking there about marrying high tech and high touch. So you have two reasons to come. One, to hear all of the great people that Karen's going to tell you about when she's here, and to listen to me. But she's also going to tell us about some interesting new statistics on just how prevalent cognitive impairment is in our population. It's much more severe than we know. And maybe she can talk to us about the new diagnosis just announced last week called LATE. I don't know very much about it, but I'm sure she does. And perhaps if you have questions for her about what was on 60 Minutes last night on frontal temporal dementia, she may be able to talk to us a little bit about that. In 2 weeks, I'm going to have an author who's going to call me from Norway. It's the first time I've had people call from Israel. I've had people call from the UK, but I've never had anybody call in from Norway. She is an author, Nina Groning, and she's going to talk about her book, Respectful Collaboration, about a study she did with 10 of her clients between working with a physician and a cranial sacral therapist. And it's a really interesting subject. And I am a devotee of cranial sacral therapy. In fact, we've talked about it on the show a number of times over the years. So I encourage you to tune into that. One, because I want to know how she's going to stay awake, because it's going to be midnight where she is. But she's going to call in Nina Groning, who is going to talk to us about her book, Respectful Collaboration. That'll be in 2 weeks. Very, very exciting. But I am still here with Kerry Jameson. And Kerry, we don't have a lot of time left. So I guess one of the things, I mean, I have a lot of things that I didn't get an opportunity to ask you. One, do you need volunteers? Can people volunteer for your organization or not really?
They can. It won't necessarily be interacting directly with children who are protected by the same HIPAA laws and so forth as adults. But we can certainly use your help if you'd like to support the organization in other ways. Please get in touch with us at that same phone number.
And you can use the money, I'm sure, too, if anybody wants to donate money.
Oh, we can always use the money to help children who need your help to heal from adversity.
So give us the website and the telephone numbers again if people want more information or want to get involved in some way.
www.centerforchildcounseling.org, and that phone number again is 561-244-9499.
So tell us a little bit about your clinicians. I think some people want to know that the person who's going to be working with their child or their grandchild knows what they're doing. So you know, we don't have a lot of time, but give us a little background on the type of people that work for you and do the kind of most important work that you're doing.
Very special people. It's not something that anybody can do, as you can imagine. So it's not only the years and years of training that brings the skills to a licensed mental health practitioner, but also the heart and the compassion that's needed, and also sometimes the toughness, because dealing with child sexual abuse is very intense and it needs to be handled very, very carefully and very well in order not to re-traumatize that child. And so those are the skills that come to play, and we are fortunate to have dozens of these fantastic therapists working for us, and I like to say they're the best of the best and the most compassionate of the most compassionate.
So, tough question, I'm sure, and one that we didn't really prepare for. If there's one thing you'd like to leave the audience with, if there's one thought that you'd hope that people understand when we turn out the lights in a few minutes, what is it that's most important for people to understand about adverse childhood experiences?
ACEs affect the mental and physical health of a child for their entire lifespan. But you as an individual can be the buffer for that child. By simply interacting in a positive way, you can turn the course of a child's life around. It only takes one positive person, and you can be that person for a child who needs it.
So get involved. Don't hide. Don't run. Don't run away. So you're an excellent guest. So I can't thank you enough for coming on the show tonight.
The time has flown. It's been wonderful to talk about something I'm so passionate about. The organization is so passionate about. And thank you to your listeners for taking a bit of a diversion from the normal topic that they're used to.
No, it's really, really good. You do some amazing work, and the need, which is even greater than I realized, you've done a wonderful job in explaining to the audience why we should care about this. Because I think that's, you know, I think we get a little jaundiced as we get a little bit older, and we start to think that that's not a problem that affects us. You know, we almost resent paying school taxes and things like that as we get older. I mean, my audience, not particularly like that necessarily, but we tend to lose a little touch with what is happening in the world of childhood growth and aging, and other than our own grandchildren, and you know, we should like to share pictures on Facebook, but we don't tell all the big stories. So you've done a masterful job of communicating to people why this matters to them and why the work that you do is so important. So I can't thank you enough, and I wish you great luck on your event in a couple of weeks.
Thank you. And if I can just say to Paul and to all the Pauls out there, you hang tough. You're a survivor. And it's our job to try and make sure that it doesn't happen to any other child.
Absolutely. So this is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. If you're a regular, you know we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. If you're new, we're here every Monday night from 6 to 7. We talk about issues that confront boomers and their parents. Next week, we're going to be talking about Alzheimer's disease, the latest and the greatest in some new developments in treatment and diagnosis. We're also going to talk about the Alzheimer's Community Care Educational Conference with Dr. Karen Gilbert, who's going to be my guest. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom, is on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast. I, of course, am Scott Greenberg. We are thrilled that you chose to spend a little bit of time with us. We hope that you will come back. If you ever have any questions, you can always reach out to us here at the station. If you have some ideas for shows you'd like to hear, don't hesitate to talk. I want to thank my guest. I want to wish you all a good week. I want you to stay dry, stay safe, and we'll see you next week. Oh, my God, I'm getting older, and so is my mom.